In the name of Jesus, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, this week's symposium was an enjoyable event for a number of different reasons, not the least of which was a paper presented by a colleague and friend from our own faculty, a man who feels he is mentioned far too often in chapel homilies these days. So in good Johannine fashion, we'll provide him today with a veil of anonymity. In any case, however, I hope you had a chance to hear what he had to say in the last few days, for his paper offered a most intriguing suggestion. And his suggestion was this: that generally, today's church is not given to thinking, believing, or living eschatologically. You know, I think he just might be right. That scares me a little bit, agreeing about anything, that is, with this particular friend of mine. But I'll get over it, for if he is right, then the consequences are many, and the consequences are profound. As an example, if he is right, if an eschatological perspective is increasingly foreign to the average Christian these days, then what is one to do, either in the pulpit or in the Bible class, with a book like the Apocalypse of St. John? Now, as many of you already know, St. John is a personal friend of mine, my favorite apostle and evangelist. Some people collect baseball trading cards. I collect icons of John. But what's a conscientious preacher or teacher going to do with the apocalypse? Steeped in the stuff of the last days, given under circumstances of seemingly excruciating persecution. It's a troubling problem. The apocalypse, of course, fascinates many. In my own time in the parish, there was no book of the Bible that people more desired to study and discuss. But what's the nature of the fascination? Does it fascinate because its message is clear and contemporary? Does it engage for this reason? Or does it fascinate because it's not clear, but queer, strange, mysterious, and oriented toward a difficult-to-define future? I suspect there is more of the latter going on these days than the former. So what do you do when few today seem connected in any significant way, either with the original circumstance of the book or with its themes? Behold a host arrayed in white, for these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. The image is powerful indeed, but not for the eschatologically challenged. Not for the one who fails to know, for example, that very little has really changed in the last 2,000 years. The Great Tribulation describes not just the circumstance of John and his contemporaries. It describes every Christian's circumstance till the end of the age. You need not suffer in precisely the same fashion as they for this to be so. For the tribulation, for the persecution of the saints, to be every bit as fearful and deadly now as it was then. And yet today, anyway, some seem to fear the tribulation not at all, as if there were no tribulation, as if they were asleep at the wheel. Wherein lies their peace? Others, however, fear, it seems, far too much, and so they abandon the faith. Still others twist the fear in such a way that sheep become indistinguishable from wolves. What's lost then for many is not just an ability to appreciate the themes of the apocalypse. What's lost is the fundamental difference between Jesus' first coming and his second. What's lost is the difference between fulfillment and consummation. What's lost is even the difference between a realistic notion of life and service in the present and one that is not. How is one to be rightly grounded in the cruciform Christ? How is one to be rightly grounded in his own call to the same kind of life? In the absence of a lively hope in the last day. How? Behold a host arrayed in white. For their hope is our hope, their song, our song. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Behold a host arrayed in white, for the day will come when we too shall see, we too shall be that great multitude which no one can number. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches, victory branches in hand, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Then shall we see. Then shall we be those who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How long, O Lord? How long will it be before we too can see? Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, declares St. John. Blessed is the one who keeps these things which are written in it, for the time is near. Behold, I am coming quickly, says the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.